church and school and campus ministry as we pledge our time, talents, and our treasures to the work of the kingdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Semper Paratus is the motto of the United States Coast Guard. Rendered into English, it means always ready. Growing up around Lake Michigan, I would see the orange and white helicopters of the Coast Guard cruising the shipping lanes. U.S. Coast Guard Air Station Traverse City, Michigan has 5 rescue helicopters, and they stand at the ready to help anyone in need. In the entirety of Lake Michigan to the west, most of Lake Superior to the north, and to Lake Huron to the east. These air crews at Traverse City stand at the ready. Semper Paratus, always ready to lend a hand on the changing waters of the Great Lakes. With the observance last week of All Saints Day, the church year moves into its final 3 weeks with end times teachings from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This week, Jesus teaches on the topic of a bridegroom coming to his wedding feast. The disciples then, and we today, are called to be faithful and wise, to be always ready, semper paratus, for his return. As we unpack this text this morning, pay close attention to the actual issue of being foolish or of being wise. Remember, all 10 maidens fell asleep. But how were the foolish ones foolish, and how were the wise ones wise? Well, first, take a look at a lamp and its oil. For a lamp to give light into the darkness, it needs some fuel to burn. Jesus makes it very clear in this parable that a major malady in regards to this situation is not having enough fuel at hand. And the fuel in today's parable is faith. A faith-filled lamp in the possession of a Christian gives light into a dark world of sin, of death, and the devil. And as a lamp needs fuel to burn, it takes preparation to keep it trimmed, to keep it burning. In this parable, oil is available. The wise virgins state this fact when they're speaking to the foolish ones. Go to the dealers and buy for yourselves. The point here is that the fuel is available. It's prepared for you. You don't have to go and make your own fuel. And the dealers can be understood as the faithful under-shepherds, the pastors in Christ's church, who are there to preach Christ's gospel, to administer his sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. By hearing God's promises, receiving his blessings, and being fed by God on your way, your jar of oil is being filled up. This is why we come back week after week, year after year, to be filled by God's gracious gifts. So the wise ones were prepared and had fuel. The instructions are simple for burning one's lamp in anticipation of the return of the bridegroom. Have oil in your lamp, keep it burning. Have some extra oil in your jars that you carry with you when the world gets dark and scary. We keep our faith-filled lamps burning in the darkest of times. In our weakest times, Christ's light burns and shines the brightest, pointing us along our way, even if he's a bit delayed in his return. But in his delay, he has been permitting in his good and gracious will to have more to come into his eternal banquet. That includes you and me here. In this end times parable, to be prepared is to have faith in the return of the bridegroom, even if he is a bit delayed. It's almost been 2,000 years. But we still live in the promise of his coming back, and we look forward to it. and in our daily lives, we truly understand this issue of being prepared, with having enough fuel on hand, with our own cars when we hit the highway. For me, coming from the Great Lakes region, I am very quickly learning the importance of filling up the gas tank of my little fuel-efficient Mazda when we hit the highways. Fuel stations are few and far between in Oklahoma and Kansas, and the night is quite dark on Interstates 35, 40, and 44. It's important to be prepared to keep the car running and those headlights shining into the darkness in the dark Oklahoma night. Further in this reading, Jesus gives this warning: "Watch, therefore, for you neither know the day or the hour." This instruction teaches us the importance of remaining in the faith. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. There is no condemnation for falling asleep. Remember, in the New Testament, the term of falling asleep is often used for those who died in the faith. The faithful and wise bridesmaids that fell asleep were and still remained prepared to light their lamps at the return of the bridegroom and to enter that glorious feast. They fell asleep while anticipating and hoping for the bridegroom's return. We Christians today, and until Christ comes back, are called to point to the coming bridegroom who will come again and take us, all of us who he has ransomed, and bring us into the everlasting and glorious banquet. In this end times parable, we learned and are warned about a truly scary situation. The scariest place to be is out in the darkness, and to hear these words from the bridegroom: "I don't know you." To dress up and to be ready to head out to a gala event hosted by the president or a senator or a governor, and to be turned back by an attendant because you're not on the guest list, it's a very embarrassing thing. It's a really uneasy feeling to be sent away because you're not known. And in this parable, the scariest part of this is that to be one of the maidens with the lamps was to be a familial honor. They were selected. They were known to do this. It was an honor guard of sorts for them. They truly had been known. But for the foolish ones and their foolishness of not being prepared, they themselves took themselves off the list and were no longer known. May this be a warning to us for anyone that claims familial heritage for their salvation. This parable hits home the point that we each stand before God on our own. May we continue in our preparation and of those coming up after us to joyfully receive the salvation that was won by them, for them, by Jesus Christ. But what about this whole wedding banquet in the first place? Remember, there's great light and joy at a banquet. And to understand light and its power in this parable, let's journey briefly into Revelation chapter 21. "And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there." The Lamb is the Lamb. Jesus is the Lamb. So he's the Lamb of heaven. And his gift of eternal life is given to you in your baptism. There's no darkness for you. We rejoice at the marriage feast of the Lamb and his bride, the church. This will be the best party, far greater than anything we've ever experienced here on earth. And the angel, speaking to St. John in the Revelation, said this: "Write this. blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is where we Christians long to be. We want to move on from this veil of tears to rest and rejoice in the heavenly banquet with the Lord. This is what we speak about when we speak of the Lord's Supper being the foretaste of the feast to come. The lamp continues to shine as a beacon in the darkness. In the blessed estate read in today's epistle lesson, we know that our loved ones rest with the Lord. This is what we celebrated last week in All Saints' Day. For them to be there, where the eternal light shines and where there is no darkness or tears, is the greatest hope that we can have for them. Further, for us, this is where we long to be when we join the everlasting throng. And how do you get there? Jesus the bridegroom paid the price for the great wedding banquet and feast by dying on the cross for his bride, the church. His resurrection assures us of our resurrection. Our sinful garments of unrighteousness were placed upon him, and he places his holy garments of righteousness upon us. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we are now dressed in white robes without any blemish, ready and worthy to be present at the eternal wedding feast and banquet. So, rejoice! In your baptism, you were marked by God as one of his redeemed by the sign of the cross upon your head and upon your heart. You were washed in the waters of regeneration, and your name was securely written in the book of life. When the bridegroom comes to take you home, be it through the portal of earthly death or on that final day, you will be called home to heaven by the one who knows you and saved you by his own death, resurrection, and ascension. We celebrated that homecoming of the saints last week, and when we toll the bell for you, we will be glad that you rest with the Lord for eternity and everlasting blessedness. The bridegroom will indeed soon call us. Do you remember the term from the beginning? Semper paratus, always ready? Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Do you stand with your lamps and extra oil in your jar? Who do you hope for? Who do you long for? One more thing on this. The Lord is the one that prepares you. He gives you the oil for your lamp. He sends pastors to teach you the gospel truths. He sends us fellow believers to encourage each other in your walk. He provides forgiveness. And just like we know from the prodigal son, he's the father waiting with open arms that will not just stand at the gate when he sees you far off returning. He will run to you and give you the biggest bear hug and put the finest clothing on you and give you the best feast and celebration. The Lord is gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression. In the stewardship of our lives, in our homes, our workplaces, and our congregation, the theme for 2015 is this: the Lord our God establishes the work of our hands. We rejoice in Psalm 90:17. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. We do this with our first fruits, with our tithing and proportionate offerings, and with our cheerful giving. We present our pledges at the altar to commit to the Lord our time, treasure, and talents to the work of our church, school, and campus ministry in the Lord's Great Commission. May the stewardship of the time, talent, and treasure that our Lord has given us help keep us and those in our community in constant readiness, semper paratus, as we look forward to Jesus' glorious return. May our lamps be trimmed and an ample supply of oil be with us as we wait for the day that the bridegroom, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, takes us into his eternal wedding banquet. Now may the peace that surpasses all human understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.